Hello, and welcome to Soothing Pod Sleep Stories. My name is Arif, and tonight I will be your guide as we embark on a journey to the Mughal Empire in the beautiful present-day countries of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan. We will unwind and find comfort with perhaps the most beautiful love story of all time, a love that has transcended hundreds of years of history and led to the creation of one of the greatest wonders of the world. We will meander through the beautiful countryside of India, passing by sun-kissed rice paddies, snow-capped mountains, tropical beaches, and the luscious, dense jungle. Before we begin, however, let us take a moment to relax and find peace and comfort in the place that we are in, here and now. Close your eyes and allow your body to sink into whatever comfortable surface you are lying on now. Feel the points at which your body is contacting the plush surface beneath you. Here and now, there is no to-do list. There are no responsibilities. By simply listening to the sound of my voice, you are already giving your body the rest that it deserves. Anything else you are seeking will come in time, but for now, trust that you are giving your body everything it needs. By just lying there and going on this journey with me, you are nourishing yourself. For a moment, I'd like you to visualize yourself somewhere entirely different. You are laying in a meadow of sweet, fragrant flowers and plants. They brush against your skin, and with their soft touch, you feel your muscles relaxing more and more. You feel as though you are sinking into the earth, being welcomed into a bed of sweet grass and slip orchids that have been woven just for you. You are in a valley of vibrant flowers. These are a prominent, breathtaking feature in India, as the wild and wonderful plains sweep up to the mountains of the Himalayas. Snow-capped mountains glisten in the distance, a peak of white against an ocean of blues, granite, and purples. There is nothing around you but the sounds of nature, the warmth of the day, and endless potential to relax and truly be yourself. You lay in the grass and flowers, breathing in and breathing out. As you do, you notice something spectacular overhead. A butterfly flits above you, its cobalt wings glistening with the light of the golden sun. The butterfly slowly drifts down to you as you breathe in and softly lands on the tip of your nose. You hold your breath, and when you exhale, the butterfly floats back above you with your slow and steady exhale. Once more, the butterfly lowers down onto your face, this time landing gently on your forehead. With its touch, you feel any tension you've been carrying melt away. Your jaw unclenches, your tongue falls away from the roof of your mouth, and your eyes comfortably relax rather than being scrunched shut. The butterfly drifts up again with your exhale, taking any and all discomfort away with it. You inhale, and the butterfly lowers with your breath, as if it is being drawn to you. It lands on your chest, fluttering its little wings as it does so. When it touches your chest, you feel any weight you've been carrying drop and disappear. There is no tension in your chest, your stomach, or in your lungs. You feel every breath deeply and fully as it revitalizes your body. The butterfly makes its way down to your legs. It lands on each of them. With its touch, you hold your breath, feeling a sense of relief as the pressure and tension melts away from your legs. There is no restlessness within them, no discomfort. The only thing you feel is the beautiful softness of the butterfly wings gently caressing your legs. Once more, the butterfly lifts up into that beautiful blue sky. It descends once more, this time to rest on each of your arms, one after the other. Any tension in your wrist, biceps, or forearms gradually floats away on the wings of the butterfly. You exhale as it takes flight one last time. Slowly, the butterfly begins their journey towards the snow-capped mountains. Its blue wings pop against the stark white snow of the peaks, bringing you a sense of peace and comfort. Now that we have taken the time to relax and find peace and comfort in the place we are in here and now, let us begin our story. Our journey takes us to the Mughal Empire, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Prince Khurram had lived a life of luxury and bounty. The grandson of Akbar the Great, he lived in a palace draped in jewels, gold, and fine furnishings. Every morning, he awakened to golden sunlight streaming in through his large arched windows that looked out over the palace grounds. Vibrant plants flourished there, orchids of every shade, leaves of cinnamon and clover, and sage and evergreen. There was a mosaic of flowers and plants just beyond his window. And even at the tender age of 15, he often stopped to take the time to admire the flowers and garden in all its glory. Brightly colored birds flocked from tree to tree, picking at the ripe fruit weighing down the branches. When it wasn't the birds flying from branch to branch, it was the monkeys. Some mornings, Prince Khurram would sit on his windowsill and watch as the monkeys leaped from branch to branch, calling to one another and leaving a trail of leaves in their wake. He loved the free spirit of the monkeys as they sailed through the air and landed on the springy branches, sometimes sending flower blossoms floating gently, gently, gently to the ground. Prince Kudum would often have his breakfast out in the courtyard, surrounded by his many family members. His family life was complicated, though that didn't mean it was without beauty. After his grandfather's passing, the quest for power led to much pressure and stress within the family. And yet, nearly every morning, Prince Kudum found himself smiling as he looked over the breathtaking countryside with fresh fruit laid out on his plate before him. He daydreamed often about what life would look like when he could create a family of his own. He wanted there to be no tension and no disagreements about power. He wanted happiness and connection with his future spouse. However, he had no idea who that would be. He spent a lot of his time reading Hindu love stories. He found himself scrolling through the pages by candlelight, dreaming of the day he would have a romance as deep as the ones he found throughout their poems and stories. At times, he felt as though his love and longing for connection disconnected him from those around him. So, often, he kept those thoughts to himself. He'd read over the stories and recite them to himself as he walked around the gorgeous village and the grounds of the estate. It was a stunning life indeed. The flowers around him were blooming with the most vibrant petals he had ever seen. The air smelled clean and fresh, intertwined with the soothing aroma of wildflowers and roses in the garden around the palace. Sometimes he would drag his fingers behind him, brushing them through the leaves and sending the aroma up into the air even more. He spent much of his time studying. He learned to fight on the battlefield. He learned to speak and write several languages, and he learned political strategy. He had some of the finest education in the world, and yet there was someone out there who may have matched him, someone that he had yet to encounter that would fill the void inside him that he had been struggling with for quite some time. It was a warm summer day. After a winter of dense snowfall in the mountains, the rivers were still running with clean, fresh water. The landscape was alive with animals and plants, and the bounty of nature in all of its glory. Prince Kudum thought of perhaps going for a walk into the countryside on this beautiful day. But there was something tugging on him, urging him to go elsewhere. As he stepped out into the bright morning air, A different wave of scents and sounds washed over him. He could smell the tang of fresh spices, the sweetness of freshly baked goods, and the earthy aroma of ink drying on paper and paintings. It was the day of the royal bazaar, and he knew immediately that he wanted to go to the bazaar instead. Perhaps it was just the lovely aromas and the sounds of people laughing and talking that drew him in. Or perhaps it was something more. Perhaps it was fate. When he arrived at the bazaar, he was arriving in a world of vibrancy and life. People of nobility floated from stall to stall, huddling beneath brightly colored canopies to exchange goods and gossip, which to them were one and the same. Everyone was smiling, mingling and laughing in the company of one another. They passed drinks and fine dishes to one another, sampling sweets and teas, and an occasional dried meat or fruit. It wasn't just the smiles that caught Prince Khurram's attention. It was the beauty of the goods from their land. Fine silks of every color you could imagine, the blues and purples in particular, seemed to glisten in the light of the sun as if they had been woven from gemstones. Paintings looked like they had been painted by the heavens, though artists with paint swatches coating their hands would protest otherwise. Prince Khurram made his way through the bazaar. Nearly every person he passed stopped to gawk at him, knowing immediately who he was. He mingled with the nobility of his town quite often, and yet, to some, he was still a mythical figure of sorts, someone they couldn't seemed to believe was alive and walking among them. As Prince Khurram walked, offering a silent smile to everyone he passed, he felt that strange feeling of loneliness well in his stomach once more. It felt even deeper than that, though. It was a loneliness that he wondered if anyone else had ever truly experienced. He thought on this for quite some time as he made his way through the bazaar, his eyes drifting from intricately designed mosaic to intricately designed mosaic. To quell his feeling of loneliness, he began to recite his favorite poems about love to himself. He murmured the words under his breath. They dripped from his lips, heavy and sweet and warm as honey. With each verse that he murmured, he felt himself growing more and more comfortable. The hope in the poems brought him a feeling of belonging and understanding. The words seemed to soak into his body, massaging any tension or angst out of him with the power of them. He perked up a bit. He purchased himself a nice cup of tea, hibiscus, and began to walk around the bazaar with more pep in his step. The bright taste of the hibiscus made him feel as though he were opening his eyes for the first time after a long, endless slumber. But what he saw next truly made him feel that way. At the end of the aisle of buyers and sellers, through the sea of colorful clothing and vibrant spices, he caught the eye of someone he had never seen before. Her hair trailed down over her shoulders in long black tendrils. He swore he could see flecks of sapphire glowing in each and every strand as she pushed them away from her face. Her rich skin had as much warmth to it as the summer day, making the air around him simmer. And when her amber eyes drifted up to his, for an instant, he felt as though he couldn't breathe. Her eyes were like pools of honey, flecked with gorgeous flakes of gold that he could see even this far across the courtyard. She wore fine silk that complemented her skin and eyes, making them glow even more than they already did. When she saw him, she offered him an embarrassed little smile before she glanced back down at her wares. Her booth was overflowing with fine silk and jewels. The whole booth was aglow with shades of pink, purple, orange, and red. It was like a lighthouse beckoning to him. No matter how vibrant the sea of wares around him was, her booth was brightest, urging him to the safety of her shores. The whole walk to her booth, Prince Khurram was not sure if he was breathing. He was practically floating on air as he made his way towards her, completely and utterly transfixed by her breathtaking beauty. Her eyes flicked up to him as he approached her, glistening with more and more emotion with every step he took to her. When he arrived at her booth, he smiled and gave her a soft, respectful nod. He introduced himself, though. Surely, she already knew who he was. She introduced herself as Arjumand Banu Begum, the daughter of a noble who held a high position in the Mughal Empire. Prince Khurram recognized her name immediately, but to him, it didn't matter who she was. Her voice was as warm and inviting as her eyes, and he was lost the moment that he looked into them. He invited Arjumand to join him on a stroll through the bazaar. She smiled at him, a mischievous, playful glint in her eyes that no one had ever really dared to give him before. She told him that she'd love to, but she was unable to leave the bazaar. She couldn't leave her items unattended. Prince Khurram ran his fingers over the soft, luscious silk. He traced the soft edges of the jewels, surely plucked from the earth of the mountains in the distance. It was a fine lot of beautiful things, things that made Prince Khurram's heart swell with the magic of being in the presence of such art created by humanity. He smiled at Arjumand and lowered his voice as he spoke to her. He told her that he would take the entire lot, every last item. Arjumand laughed at first, a sound that made Prince Khurram want to melt. Her laughter sounded like bells chiming in a temple in the countryside, echoing out into the earth to be heard. He couldn't help but laugh with her when she laughed. A few people glanced over at them, but after receiving a cold glance back from the prince, they turned away, giving him the privacy he clearly craved. He reassured Arjamond that he was serious and handed her all the coins he had brought with him. At first, Arjamond refused, telling him that he owed her nothing, but the prince insisted. He told Arjamond not to worry about getting them back to the palace. She was welcome to keep them, but with a day of sales no longer ahead of her, he asked if she may be interested in looking at the rest of the bazaar with him. Arjamond said yes before he could even get all the words out. She dusted off her outfit, though she looked more beautiful than words could say, and walked along with Arjamond as he made his way through the courtyard. Many people gawked, trying not to get caught doing so, but it was a spectacle indeed. The two had just crossed paths, and already Prince Khurram was gazing at her as though she was the first few rays of sun after a long, brutal winter. He was mesmerized. The two walked in sync with one another. Though they had never met, it was almost as if their souls had been searching for each other for a long, long time. They spoke to one another in soft, gentle tones while they meandered around the market. They seemed to laugh more and more as time went on. And by the time they reached the river that meandered around the edge of town, they felt as if they had known each other their whole lives. Prince Khurram didn't speak to her as though she were below him. And much to his delight, Arjamond didn't speak to Prince Khurram as though he were above her. She had sharp wit and intelligence that made Arjamond feel as though he needed to go home and study more. They spoke briefly of politics, and Arjamond didn't hold her tongue. She talked of nearby battles and strategies that could win them, and alliances that could be formed. She had ideas that the prince had never considered, ideas that could potentially change their kingdom forever. When Prince Khurram asked her where she had gotten such brilliant ideas, Arjamond just flashed him a sheepish smile. She told him that she had been studying such things for the majority of her life, not out of necessity, but out of interest. If her amber eyes and sharp wit weren't enough to win him over, her knowledge of such things certainly was. Arjamond was on cloud nine. She had never seen someone embrace her ideas so wholly, and she certainly never expected a prince to. They sat by the edge of the river and talked about the world for hours. The sun crept across the sky, painting it and the fields a mosaic of greens, blues, pinks, and purples. It was like watching an artist paint right in front of you. Arjamond's eyes reflected the brilliant colors of the sunset, drawing Prince Khurram in even further. When they bid farewell for the night, Prince Khurram had a feeling welling inside him that he had never experienced before. He had never felt so alone as the moment he left her side. It was such a short span of time, and already he was craving her companionship more than he had ever craved anything in his life. For the next few weeks, Prince Khurram visited Arjamand every chance that he got. The two would stroll along the river and talk about everything under the sun. They spoke of their hopes for the future of their empire. They spoke of the beauty within it, and mostly, they spoke of the beauty within each other. Arjamand had a fire to her that Prince Khurram grew to love more and more with every passing day. She seemed fearless in her thoughts and in speaking her mind, and at the same time, she was fearless, showing vulnerability. She spoke openly about her fears regarding love and loss, which only made Prince Khurram love her more. A few weeks after they met, on the edge of the riverbank where they had watched the sunset together for the first time, Prince Khurram proposed marriage to Arjamand. Tears trailed down her flushed face as she accepted his proposal. She told him in the moonlight that she had never dreamt she would be in love like this. She never imagined anyone would understand or love her this deeply. They wanted nothing more than to be wed and spend the rest of their lives together. After 5 long years of waiting due to political concerns, Prince Khurram and Arjamand became wed. As they shared their vows, Prince Khurram bestowed a new name upon Arjamand, Mumtaz Mahal, meaning the exalted one of the palace, which she has been known as since that very day. From the moment they were married, Mumtaz Mahal and Khurram were inseparable. When Prince Khurram became Shah Jahan, they embraced his new powerful role hand in hand. Many nights, they laid awake beneath the sheets, talking about their future and their past, both as a couple and as rulers. Shah Jahan would stroke Mumtaz Mahal's hair, whispering to her about the beauty of her mind, body, and spirit. She was the reason he wanted to make the kingdom bigger and better, and he did not make a single decision without reaching out to her first. It didn't matter what decision it was. Shah Jahan wanted, needed, even to hear Mumtaz Mahal's opinion. He respected her more than his fiercest, strongest military leaders, and no one ever questioned her power. They ruled in true harmony with one another. When battles spread across their kingdom like wildfire, Mumtaz Mahal would join her husband and sleep by his side. It didn't matter how far the battles took them. She was traveling along with him, and Shah Jahan didn't want to have it any other way. Her bright smile and intelligent words reminded him of why he was doing everything that he was doing. Even on the battlefield, Mumtaz Mahal made Shah Jahan smile and blush like a schoolboy. They both ignited a childlike spirit in each other, and at the same time, they incentivized each other to be as strong, powerful, and calm as they could possibly be. Over the course of their marriage, Mumtaz Mahal gave birth to 14 beautiful children. Shah Jahan loved his children almost as fiercely as he loved his wife. Having grown up in a turbulent family himself, Shah Jahan craved being a stable force for his children throughout their lives. Many mornings, as they all ate breakfast together, Shah Jahan would look across the table at his wife, and they would exchange a look. It was a look that said so much without a single word. It spoke to how lucky they both were, how beautiful their lives were, and how blessed they were to have the family that they had. Unfortunately, it was when she was giving birth to her last child that Mumtaz Mahal passed away. Shah Jahan was inconsolable, hiding away in his room for 8 full days as he mourned his whole world. The whole empire was in mourning, and for good reason. Mumtaz Mahal had loved them, protected them, and cared for them just as fiercely as any Shah had or ever would. When grief is as great as Shah Jahan's was, it must be put somewhere. He put the next 2 decades of his life into constructing a tomb for his beloved in honor of her. He wanted to keep her presence known, loved, and respected on earth for all of eternity, which is exactly how long he was going to love her for. Using his own architectural knowledge, he consulted with the finest craftspeople in his kingdom. He wanted her tomb to resemble heaven as it was depicted in the Quran. The palace was composed of white marble with gardens as far as the eye could see. Often, Shah Jahan would walk the garden as he reminisced about the beautiful time he spent with his beloved. The interior of the building was speckled with jewels, flowers, mosaics, and the finest art that the Shah could find. It reminded him of the bazaar that day he had met Mumtaz Mahal, the very day he had fallen in love with her. Until his very last day, even when he was overthrown, Shah Jahan looked out at the tomb, which he had named the Taj Mahal, the Palace of the Crown. Every time he looked at the stunning swaths of marble, at the feat of engineering, he was reminded of all the wonderful times he had shared with his beloved. To this very day, millions of people visit the Taj Mahal, proving that love can truly be eternal. Surely, after his passing, Shah Jahan was reunited with his wife. Now, we can all look upon the marvel that is the Taj Mahal and be reminded of how true and everlasting love really is. Thank you for joining me tonight for this sleep story. I hope it has led you to a place of comfort and peace. Please, join me again tomorrow night for another sleep story. Until then, sweet dreams.